Good morning. Some of you may be wondering about communion. We're having communion in just a moment. Today's sermon, we could say, is just a really long communion thought, if that's okay. And we'll have some songs in the middle as well. You know, it's the season, right? It is the season. And already I've been approached from couple people who want to have my vest and shirt, because you know it's the season, right, Noah, Brandon? Yes, Santa. What do you got to? Yes. So it's the season, it's the shopping season, sort of, right? Kinda. But it's more than that. It's lots of folks would say this is the Advent season. Advent comes from the Latin word Adventus. I'm not sure how about my Latin accent. Adventus, yes. And it means coming. The word means coming. And the point is, Jesus is coming. And as he's coming in this season, Jesus, like Jesus, he came with lots of joy, but also lots of sorrow. And so we're going to talk about his coming, and I want you to think of it perhaps as we head towards communion. We're going to think of these thoughts together, but let's pray first. Father, we thank you so much for your son, Jesus. And as we have sung songs already about him today, we praise you and we praise him for the great coming, and for the coming that's in the future. We love you. Let us hear a word from you today. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in the sermon, the series still, sort of, kind of a blip here, but still in the season, I mean in the series, James, the lifestyle of the saved. And so we'll be talking about some lifestyle things today. But as I've done the last few times after I've listened to Jeremy's sermon on the Facebook, and by the way, if you didn't hear it, I strongly recommend it. I'm kind of jumping off his where he left off, or where he really settled down last week, talking about the idea of humbling yourself. And so that same idea in James of humble yourselves and he will lift you up is Jeremy preached about last week. Today we're going to call it surrender. Humble yourselves, surrender. And we're doing this looking at, again at Jesus, the coming Jesus. And how many of you have a nativity scene in your front yard, okay, or somewhere in your house? Yeah, at my house we have lots of nativity scenes. We are a nativity straighter family. And there's the manger, and there's the baby, and there's the angels, and there's the shepherds, and we got several different versions of that all over. And as we sang the songs, I was thinking about this, that Jesus, the baby, even as a baby, Jesus came to die. He was born to die. That was the reason he came. And so in Philippians 2, it's really a summary of his whole life. Philippians 2, these verses in Philippians. He says he was by very nature God, but he didn't consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Jesus came from the throne as a baby, just as a baby. And that's something about that is just, speechless. As we're singing the songs, isn't he wonderful? And as we're singing that song today, we're singing that song, isn't he wonderful? My mind flashed to the delivery room when I was standing and watching my two baby boys as they're born. And in my mind, these were my thoughts. Isn't he wonderful? I was overwhelmed when my boys were born. It was a beautiful, just overwhelming joy and awe, really. I just could not believe that. And as we continue to sing today, I thought, because I know what the sermon is ahead of time, so I know where this is headed. And I thought, my boys die on a cross? That's not my delivery room thoughts. That's not what I thought when I held my baby for the first time. I thought, instead, isn't he wonderful? I wonder what life is going to be like for him. In Romans 5, there was a time, there was a moment in history. And you know, there's a reason God picked that time. I'm not for sure what. I got lots of different ideas. But this, in Romans 5, it says this: you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died. He came to die. He died for us at just the right time. That's why he came. He was born to die. But he also died so that he could be raised from the dead. He didn't die to stay dead. He died so that he could conquer death in Revelation. And this verses like this are throughout the New Testament. But this one says, as Jesus is speaking, he says, I am the living one. And then he says, I was dead, but now look, I am alive. Jesus came to take on our fiercest enemy. Our fiercest enemy is death. And Jesus came to conquer death. He didn't come just to teach, just to preach, just to do miracles. He came to die so that he could be raised. And in being raised, he would save the world. And so we all know John 3:16, right? God loved the world so much that he sent his one and only Son. Why? So that we could be saved. He came to conquer death, our greatest fear. Man, all of us in this room, at some point or another, I'm looking around, and I think almost everyone in you personally or your family has faced death this year. I remember looking death in the eye, in the eyes of my mother, in the emergency, in the ICU, back in the spring. Jesus came to conquer death. He died so that he could be raised, so he could save all of us. And he also was raised so that he could reign, so that he could rule, so that he could be the King of Kings, so that he could be in charge from then on. So back in those verses we read in Philippians, right? Again, the story of Jesus. It says, he was found in appearance as a human being, and he humbled himself, he surrendered, and he became obedient to death, even death on the cross. And therefore, God exalted him, he raised him, and gave him a name above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. He came so that he could reign. And yet, the process that he went through has meaning for us here today. Then the process meant he was born to die. So as we approach the Advent season, the coming of the baby Jesus, and we have our nativity scenes, we remember that this baby boy was born to die. When I think about this and the sacrifice Jesus made on the cross, I'm drawn back to Isaiah 53. We're going to read Isaiah 53. I'm actually, when I say we, you know, I mean me. I'm going to read Isaiah 53 as we listen to it, and then we're going to sing. I'll tell you about a song. I'm going to read lyrics to you, and then we're going to sing a different one. But here we go. This is an Advent message. This is a message about the coming of Jesus. Not necessarily a nativity scene. Who has believed our message, and who has the Lord revealed his, to whom has he revealed his powerful arm? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected. He was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with greatest, deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and rejected, and we did not care. Yet it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But no, he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we could be made whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed. When you think about holding a baby boy, a newborn baby boy in your arms, you don't think about he's going to be whipped and beaten for me. Can you make that verse personal? He was whipped and he was beaten for me. All of us have strayed away like sheep. We've left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him all of our sins. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was like a lamb led to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants and that his life was cut short. He was struck down for the rebellion of his own people. He had done no wrong. He had never deceived anyone, but he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave. But it was God's plan, God's good plan, to crush him and cause him grief so that his life would make an offering for sins, and he would have descendants. It's all of us are his descendants. And he will enjoy a long life, an eternal life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. And when he sees all that he is was accomplished by his own anguish, he will be satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous, for he will bear all of their sins. And I will give him honors of a victorious soldier because he exposed himself to death to overcome it. A few years ago, Corey Asbury wrote this song in 2017 called Reckless Love. And I just want you to read the lyric. I'm going to read to you the lyrics of the song. And as you think about it, think about a baby boy being born. And think about an innocent man being crushed and crucified for us. Reckless love. Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You've been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life into me. You've been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. It chases me down. It fights till I'm found. It leaves the 99 I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. When I was your foe, still your love fought for me. You've been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You've been so, so kind to me. There's no shadow you won't light up, no mountain you won't climb up coming after me. This is Advent. That's an Advent sentence. Say it again. There's no shadow you won't climb, you won't light up, and there's no mountain you won't climb up coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, no lie you won't tear down coming after me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. It chases me down. It fights till I'm found. It leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Still, you give your love away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. We're going to take communion today. And as you hold the elements in your hand, the bread and then the cup, as you hold them in your hand, I want you to think about the nativity scene. The baby that was wonderful. Isn't he wonderful? And yet it came for this purpose and to this end, he died for us. He died for you because there's nothing he won't do for you. Let's sing. Over the last couple of months, I've been privileged to work with a group of men in rehab for drugs, alcohol, and the lifestyle that it has led them to. And in this group, these men are all criminals, all of them. And there's about 30 of them. And I go and I teach a Bible study during the week. I sit in with some other Bible studies they do. I sing praise and worship music with them. And I've come to know them pretty well. Their leader, the person who is in charge of the facility, also has a criminal record and a criminal life. One of the stories he tells is about stealing some jewels because he was also a thief and probably just about every crime you can think of. I can remember Pam talking about she's committed all the 600 and whatever it is, right, Pam? From way in the back. And my friend Lee is very similar. One of the things he did, and he tells this story, he robbed a house and he stole a bunch of jewels. And the jewels, by his reckoning, were worth a lot of money. But as he went around to try and sell them, the people he would want to buy them weren't going to pay that much. And finally, one of the guys who was going to take the jewels and then he was going to sell them said, the value of something, Lee, is only what you can get someone else to pay for it. That's it. He says, you may think these are more valuable. They may, you may look them up online and they seem more valuable, but the value you're going to get for it is only what you can pay for it, only what someone else is going to pay for it. And I think about you and me, how valuable you are. Because God paid for you. God paid the ultimate for you. I would give my life in a heartbeat, but I wouldn't give the life of my son for any of you. By the way, love you a lot. So when my boys were little, 4 or 5, my wife and I would pick up donuts for the college class at Highland Church of Christ, and we got 20 dozen donuts. There was a bunch of them. And we'd go and we'd sit and eat a donut in the donut shop And we did that every Sunday with my boys. And then, but the guys, when we got to church, we'd do class, we'd go to church. My boys would sit, you know, between me and my wife. And my guys were always fascinated with communion. And they wanted it, you know, they wanted it. And so they would always be reaching for it. And that caused a stir. Because I wasn't one of those kind of dads that let my boys do that. I've grown up since then, maybe, but in that day, yeah, don't touch that. But couldn't do it. So I thought, you know what? I got a college degree. I can outsmart these guys. So I thought what I would do is I would draw on their hands an X, and I would say, I told them this at the donut shop. And I said, boys, when we have communion today, I want you to look at that X and think about that's Jesus was crucified. And that means they put nails in his hands and nailed him to a cross. And I want you to look at that when they're passing the communion. I was just trying to distract them. You know, I wasn't trying to teach any big theological lesson to a four-year-old. But I was trying to distract them, right? And it didn't work on one of them. Everybody in the family would know which one that was, that it didn't work. But the other one, my son, he's five. And as the trays started coming down the aisle, he started looking at his X in his hand. And he started rubbing that X with his thumb. And I was watching this happen. And it seemed to me at the moment what he was thinking was exactly what I'd asked him to think, that what would it be like to have your hands nailed to a cross? And the thought that went in my mind at that moment was, no way is that ever going to happen to my boy as long as I'm alive. I would never let my son die on a cross for anybody. God didn't just let his son do it. He sent him to do it. That's why he sent him, is to die so that I could live forever. He came as a baby to grow up as a man, to die on a cross so he could conquer death for me, so I don't have to look at my mother's eyes in fear. I look at them and know that there's a place she's going that is beyond this one. And we can do that together. We can celebrate together. The fear of death is gone. Now, it's scary, I'll have to say. Death may not be too bad, but dying, getting there is rough. And so I stand here, though, today knowing where I'm going, knowing that I'm loved, that there's nothing he won't do coming after you. So as you take the bread this morning and you hold it in your hand and then the cup after, think about these things. And these are thoughts that just, man, they just don't really go together. But they do. He sent a baby to grow up, to be crucified, so that we could live forever. He loves you. He loves me that much. Let's pray. Father, as we take communion this morning, we celebrate the death, but also the resurrection of your son, Jesus. And so now we confidently face death, knowing that we too are raised with you. We have a future. And as we take these elements, we also say to you, we belong to you. We commit our lives to you. In Jesus' name. Closing, I want to talk about these three things quickly: a choice, a destination, and a lifestyle. I want you to listen as I read from Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. Jesus has offered here to us and to his disciples an invitation to follow him, which means to go where he goes. It's an invitation to submit. It's an invitation to surrender. It's an invitation to deny yourself and say, I'm going where he went. When he said, not my will but thine be done, that's where I'm headed. And he says here, I'm headed to a cross. I'm going to take up a cross. You know, what did they carry that cross around for? To die on. That's why he carried his cross. That's why we're carrying ours. It's an invitation to carry the cross. Surrender your will to God's will, whatever that looks like today and tomorrow and every day of your life. That destination is the cross. Now, it's to give up my ways, my will, and say, what do you want for me today, God? But it's also, there's another destination beyond that one. Beyond the cross, there's a final destination. And that final destination is with him, reigning with him. No more sorrows. He was a man of sorrows, but we're headed to a destination where there'll be no more sorrows if we say yes to the invitation to carry our cross. Rich Mullins, a songwriter and singer, in his song, Hold Me Jesus, wrote these lyrics. Surrender don't come natural to me. I love his grammar. Surrender don't come natural to me. Does it come natural to any of you? Surrender don't come natural to me. He says, I'd rather fight you for something I don't really want than take what you give that I need. Surrender don't come natural to me, but it is the way to life, to full, abundant life, not just in heaven, but right here and right now. There's a life that waits for us when we say yes to Jesus and no to ourselves. We pray to God, you're God, I'm not. Your ways higher than my ways. Sometimes I don't understand them. Often I don't like them, but your ways lead me to a path of peace now and forever. I love him because he first loved me, and I'm going to follow with a lifestyle of waking up every day and say, today, Jesus, is your day. I'm giving myself to you today. And I believe that's where we're headed, right out this door, out into the world. Who are celebrating the birth of a child who we know was destined to die and destined to be raised and destined to save you. Praise Jesus. Amen. Let's pray, and then we're dismissed. Father, we thank you so much for your overwhelming love. It blows our mind. That you love me so much, you would let your son die for me. That you love me so much that you would send him from heaven for me. That you love me so much that you've invited me to live with you forever. Father, I pray today and every day of our lives, we live this out in ways that others can see. We belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all have a great week. Merry Christmas.